right, number 461. Oh, to be like thee. 461 is a good song of desire on the part of the Christian as we sing this. Make it a heart prayer. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. 461. Him to do it.
You know, the Bible says that he went in there and the people destroyed all the people. Men, women, children, animals, everything. Destroyed everything that breathed. Why? Well, you come and learn why. There's a reason why. And it's a very good parallel to your own Christian life as you walk in this world. We need to be like Joshua, conquering the land, spiritually speaking, for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you come on out. Evening service starts at 6:30, and we'll be here. Hope you will be too. Wednesday night prayer meeting, Bible study. You know, get away from everything in the middle of the week. Come on out and be here. Song time, message from the Word of God, and time of prayer together with others in the church. It's a good time to get together. Bring your requests, and we'll take them before the Lord in prayer. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Now, do you all have your notes from last week? I gave you a whole list of conditions existing within the millennium. Brother Jim, would you come and pass these out to anyone who might not have gotten one last week? I have just four. I think there's four copies there. Revelation chapter 20. And starting at verse 1 of Revelation 20, we have the account given here of our Lord and Savior's coming kingdom, which is going to last for 1,000 years. It isn't in existence right now yet, because the church is here. But the next event is the rapture. As soon as that happens, then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. Israel is going to be brought back to God. And at the end of 7 years, the Antichrist and all the armies of the world will be gathered around Jerusalem, and Israel will call upon the true Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and he will return and fight the battle of Armageddon and destroy the wicked armies. And then there will be a judgment of the nations, and all the lost and the wicked who did not treat the children of Israel right during those 7 years of tribulation will be cast into the lake of fire, and all the remaining people will go on into the kingdom. And what a kingdom is going to be on this earth with Jesus himself here ruling and reigning on a throne in Jerusalem. And it won't be Moscow, it won't be Washington, D.C., and it won't be the United Nations. It will be Jerusalem, the holy city. That's not Rome either. Rome's no holy city at all. It's a corrupt one, actually, if you really look at things going on there. The holy city is going to be Jerusalem. And it will have to be made holy because right now Israel is not what they should be. And the Lord will clean the place. He will wash it and he will make it holy again. Looking forward to that day, because even though I'm in the church age, when Jesus comes back, I'm coming back with him. And we'll rule and reign with him. And so, let's look at these verses here. I'm not going to comment on them because I've already done that in several messages. Just want to get us started here. Verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Wow, that tells me all the while Jesus rules and reigns, the devil will be bound. Unable to do his work like he does it today in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls during the 1,000-year reign. Verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So before this 1,000-year reign of Christ begins, there's going to be a resurrection of all the saved who died during the tribulation time. They'll be raised to go on into that kingdom age with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they who were beheaded for the testimony of the Lord are now going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a switch, right? I tell you what, if you're born again today, you will be found among those who suffer for Christ, who often are persecuted for the cross of Christ. But someday the tables are going to be turned. And we are going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to enjoy blessing instead of the cursing and the persecution that we often receive from this world. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem, where Jesus is ruling, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then the remaining verses of the chapter talk about the great white throne judgment. That's the final judgment of all the condemned, the damned, those who never trusted God's plan of salvation through faith in Christ. They're going to be raised to stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne. And they will be judged out of the books which contain all their works. Not to determine whether they're going to heaven or hell, but to determine how bad hell is going to be for all eternity. And into the lake of fire they will be cast. And that's the end of all things, and on into eternity we will go. But we want to look at this 1,000 years. This is a time period during which Jesus is going to be here on earth, and he's going to rule over Israel and then all the rest of the nations of the world for 1,000 years. During this time, men will be tested to see whether they will submit to the king and obey the king and even trust in the king for salvation from their sin. And we will find that at the end of 1,000 years, you noticed how Satan was released out of his bottomless pit prison, and he was able to deceive the nations. And the Bible says many people follow the devil. So even though Jesus is here, many are not going to believe in him and trust him. At the end of 1,000 years, there are still going to be a lot of people who are not going to have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. How can it be? Wouldn't it be great if we could have Jesus here this morning? Have him be the special speaker here at Ray Street Baptist Church. I wonder, would there be more people here today than there are if Jesus was on the schedule this morning? Well, probably not if we had the Jesus of the Bible here scheduled to speak. But the Jesus of the world probably would draw a lot of people, because they've changed Jesus into something other than what the Bible declares him to be. I don't know about you, but the Jesus of the world and a lot of the churches out there in the world does not represent the Jesus I find in my Bible. And if we would announce that Jesus of the Bible is going to be here today, there probably wouldn't be too many more people here. If there would be, they'd probably be here from some of the other churches. Oh, I hear Jesus is going to be over at Ray Street Baptist. They'd all be coming in here from other churches. But I wonder how many of the lost world would want to find their way here. I don't think too many more would want to find their way here. That just tells me how wicked and awful the minds and hearts of men are. Because even with Jesus here on earth, ruling and reigning over the earth, and even making the conditions of that living different and beautiful and wonderful, men still have evil hearts of unbelief. And they still will love their sin and not want to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Not only will the Lord be ruling over all the nations of the earth, but he wants, even at that time, to be the personal Savior of every living soul in his kingdom. He wants to be their Savior. For he's already done the work of saving them on the cross of Calvary. And during the kingdom, I believe there will go forth the preaching of the good news. And people will get saved, but most of them won't. There will be many who will not, even during the time when Jesus is here. I've spoken to some people who say things like this after you tell them how they need to be saved and that the Bible's the Word of God, and they'll say, oh, I don't believe the Bible's the Word of God, and I won't believe anything until someone comes back from the dead. If someone would come back from the dead, then I'd believe. Jesus is going to come. And by the way, Jesus already did come back from the dead. and showed himself. And witnesses have seen him. And have the world turned to Christ as a result? No. He's going to come back bodily someday. Yes, that one who hung on the tree died and was put into the tomb and 3 days and three nights later rose up from the grave. He's coming back bodily to reveal himself to the world, even rule over them, and as your notes say, change the conditions during that time to being almost heavenly, and yet men still will not receive the truth and be saved. I tell you what, if you're saved here this morning, you need to thank God that in His grace, He gave the gospel message to you so that you could accept and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you should really be thankful that you sit here today saved. And you need to share that good news with others so that they too could sit here and be saved if they so desire. Well, we are looking at conditions existing within the millennium, and we use Daniel chapter 7, verse 27 to show how that there's coming a day when the Lord will rule over all the earth. And we looked at peace. I gave you some verses, Isaiah 2, 4. We looked at holiness, and I gave you Isaiah 1, 26 to 27. We then looked at the kingdom will be one of glory, Isaiah 24, 23, 35, verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. It would be a time of comfort when Israel would be comforted. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. It will be a time of joy. Joy all over the earth. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 3 through 6. It will be a time of justice. Oh, won't it be great when we don't have to read the newspapers that so-and-so got away with murdering so-and-so. Or he only got a few years in jail. No, there will be justice, complete justice. Righteous justice, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. And then we did full knowledge. There will be a full knowledge of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And chapter 54, verse 13. And I believe now we're coming to the next point, which is instruction. Oh, there's still going to be school. Oh, don't you like school? I just love school. Yeah, right. I didn't love it when I was going there. I did the best I could to get away from doing all as much work as I could possibly get away with and still pass. You know, it's too bad. I wish I had done better. I surely wish I had done better in school. If I had it over to, again, you ever hear that? If I had it over again, I'd do better in school. If you are in school, young people, do your best or you'll turn out like me. All right. Isaiah, here, I want to give you verses. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. There is going to be teaching and instruction going on during this time. Isaiah 2, verse 2 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days." So you know Isaiah is looking out prophetically to the end of time. "In the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains." Mountains are a type of kingdoms in the prophets when they speak. And so the Lord's house is going to be above all the rest of the kingdoms. "And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." It is a good thing when kings and presidents and premiers of nations and that exhort people to do what is right and good. But we find very little of that in the day that we live. There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to rule omnipotent over all the earth, He's going to teach everybody the way they should walk. And people will say to other people, "Let's go on up, let's take a vacation, go on up to Jerusalem, and let's hear the Lord teach us." That's what they're going to do. You go on vacation today, you go to museums, and they tell you that, 200 million years these dinosaurs walked on the earth before man ever evolved, and they tell you all kinds of untruths and that. Well, that won't happen in the kingdom age. All those museums will be transformed into creation museums. Oh, that'll be great, won't it? And they'll have to change all their little labels and everything else and say that this happened 6,000 years ago. Instead of millions of years ago. And what a time it'll be. And man and dinosaurs walk together. I'm sure the Lord will probably even reveal some dinosaur fossils along with some man fossils together and put them in the museums and say, there's your proof. They walk together. And it'll be a great time. Now, that's just in my own imagination what I just told you there, okay? That's not Bible. That's just Gary Freeman. But truth will be learned and be taught in that day. So there'll be instruction during the thousand-year reign of Christ. The next point is the removal of the curse. Wow. You mean men are going to live in a world where the curse, the direct result of Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden, and the curse that came on the ground with weeds and thistles and thorns, and men have to work hard to get something to grow up out of this ground, and then the sickness and the trouble and hard labor for childbirth and everything, all that's going to be removed so that men will enjoy a blessed time for 1,000 years without the curse? Yes? I'll give you some verses. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. That basically just establishes that there is a curse. Here is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. Chapter 35, verse 9. That would be in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 9. And also in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25. Now, Genesis 3, 17 through 19, I'm not going to go there for sake of time. That's where God told Adam and Eve that because you've sinned, the ground is cursed for your sake. And through the sweat of your brow, you will live. And you'll go back to the dust of the earth just from where you were taken out. You're going to go back and there would be hard labor. It's going to be hard. And you're going to die, he says. You're going to die. Why do we die? Why are there funerals? Why are there hospitals? Why do we have to go see the doctor? You know, someone comes into church and say, well, so-and-so isn't feeling good. And what's our first response usually? Did they go to the doctor? So-and-so's in the hospital. Oh, how long are they going to be there? You know, or so-and-so died last week. And we got cemeteries all around. You know, all that's going to be lifted for 1,000 years. It's going to be lifted. It's not going to be the case. People are going to live a long time. They could very well live for the whole 1,000 years. Because the curse is going to be removed. Isaiah chapter 11, let's just go there. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9 says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Do you think that would happen today? Well, only if the lamb is inside the wolf, you know. It makes it a meal. But the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion. And the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. Have you ever wanted to take a lion and lead it around? Not right now, you don't. No, I wouldn't recommend it. Not right now. Even those that are tamed often turn on their owner or on their trainer. I know we've seen tragedy in the last few years where trainers of lions and tigers ended up becoming the meal of the lion and the tiger, at least attempted meal. And not so in the kingdom. In the kingdom age, a child shall eat it. You know, I take the Bible literally. I just do. And it says a child will eat them. Can you imagine Caleb and Abigail and Daylin walking a lion around, you know? Come here, lion. Whoa, not right now, they wouldn't do it. But they can in the kingdom age. Continuing on, verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah spoke of a day coming when the curse would be lifted. Go over to chapter 35, verse 9. Chapter 35, verse 9. Interesting, this passage is used to describe what Jesus did when he came to earth the first time. He gave them a little glimpse of what it will be like when He does come someday to rule and reign forever. In Isaiah 35, verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. It's talking about in Zion when the Lord rules and reigns. But if you look back a little bit further, look at verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And on it goes to describe a condition in the land of Israel someday when the curse will be lifted. And there'll be no ravenous beast there. There are ravenous beasts there now. They will be there during the tribulation time too. We read about some of them in the book of Revelation. And a lot of the troubles and things in the book of Revelation. They'll be gone. What a day it's going to be. A grand day in the kingdom. Go to chapter 65, verse 25. Isaiah 65, 25. Of course, when Isaiah, who lived before the time of Christ, said these things to Israel, these things were not taking place then. So it's looking forward to a day coming. And that day hasn't come yet. The church age hasn't brought that. You know, there are some who want to spiritualize all this and who are covenant in theology and say that Israel is no more and the church takes the place of Israel. And they allegorize all these things. They don't take them literal. And they say the church has brought in an age during which there's no ravenous beasts and the child can play with the asp and things like that. And they're just talking. They say, well, that just means salvation and you're saved from sin and things like that. Oh, I take this literal. Isaiah was speaking of a time when these things will happen. Verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. You know, that's not natural right now, is it? And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. You know what the lion prefers? You. he liked to eat you. Or meat. He's carnivorous. He's a meat eater is what he is. You know, if you put a little bundle of straw into a lion's cage, he'll eat your hand and leave the straw behind. That's what he wants to eat, see? There's coming a day when the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. You know, why would the Lord say these things if he really only was meaning, well, in a spiritual sense I mean this. You know, the Lord doesn't talk like that. He's talking the way He is here. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Folks, there's a day coming on this earth when men will actually dwell on this earth during a time when the things we just read about are going to take place. And it won't be taking place in a zoo somewhere with bars all around. This is going to be commonplace out in the wilderness, in the forests, on the streets. They're going to enjoy this. These animals will walk around freely and they won't be eating each other. It's just going to be a grand time. Now, there's not much is said, and I don't know really if anything's said about the fish in the sea and so forth. You know how the chain is, the big one, the small one eats the smaller one, right on down like that. What will they eat during that time? I don't know, but the Lord's going to change things so that they'll enjoy life in the sea without all that killing and curse going on. And men will be able to dive right into the midst of all the sharks, you know, going around and everything. And just kind of pet them and things like that. You wouldn't do that today. How many of you would like to jump into a shark tank without a cage? I don't see any takers on that one. Not me either. But there's coming a day when a child will be swimming around in there like that. Now, again, that's Gary Freeman. That's not right out of the Bible. But I think I can prove that based upon what I've already read in my Bible. There. And then the next point is sickness removed. Isaiah 33, verse 24. Isaiah 33, verse 24. You notice how a lot of these are in the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah is a good book to read sometime. Isaiah's warning the children of Israel of their sin, their need to repent. And then he talks about a Messiah who will come and take away all their sin. And then he also says of that Messiah, who is also called the Lord, he's going to establish a kingdom with Israel someday, during which these things that we read about are going to take place. In Isaiah 33, verse 24, it says this, verse 24, "And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity." The inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. Oh, if you go to school to learn how to be a doctor and the kingdom comes on, you're going to have to get another job. And you won't be able to run around in a BMW. I know doctors. Maybe we have a doctor here today. Thank God for the doctors and physicians that help us out in times of real need and trouble. But you know, there's coming a day, won't need them. Won't need doctors. No one will say, I'm sick. I have a cold today. I'm under the weather. No such thing in the kingdom. It's going to be all lifted and gone out of here. There's not going to be any reason for men to say, oh, if there's a God in heaven, why does he make me sick? God's going to say, okay, I'll take that away from you. Now what are you going to do? Well, you mean I have to trust in that one over there in Jerusalem, that Jesus there? He says, I can't do this and can't do that and can't do this and can't. You know, that's how people are. They don't want to come to Christ. And you know why? Because they love their sin. Their deeds are evil and they love their sin. I'm not going to argue that. People love sin. And sin appeals to men because we're sinners. But I tell you what, sin kills. Sin separates one from a holy God who has something so much better for you than what sin gives you and the consequences of sin. Take drugs, for instance. All right, you pump them into you and you have a little high and a fancy time and everything else, but it's going to control you someday. And you're going to do evil in order to continue to get that drug. You're going to steal. You're going to tell lies in order to gather the money you need to pay the druggie to give you the drugs to keep putting it in. And I know the beer ads and everything else try to make it all look so great, everything to be drinking and have fun and everything else. Let's show the pictures of those who are alcoholics and cannot control the habit anymore and need it to get through the day. Instead of a glass of orange juice for breakfast, it's something with alcohol in it, just to get them through the next hour for some of them. Because within another hour, they're back at the bottle again. And the children aren't taken care of. And mothers are beaten, wives are beaten, and sometimes even husbands are beaten by wives, or whatever. But, oh, it's not good, is it? Sin is bad. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's going to lift this curse off of his kingdom so that men will not be able to blame these things. They'll just have to blame themselves if they haven't trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. See, up until this time, a lot of times men want to blame all the environment, the social problems. They don't have enough money. If they had a nicer house, everything would be fine. No. The problem is inside here. The sin state, the sin nature of man, that's where the problem is. You can clean them up all you want. You know what? You can wash and clean a pig and make him squeaky clean and then let him go. And what will he do? He'll go right back to the mud puddle and turn himself into that thing and roll around in it. You know, in order to make a pig right, you have to somehow change his heart and make him want to be a lamb or a sheep. And only God can do that in the heart of a sinner and save him and make him a new creature in Christ Jesus. And in the kingdom, our Lord's going to remove sickness and the curse. The next one is healing of the deformed. Look at Isaiah 29. Here's your verses. Isaiah 29, verses 17 through 19, and also chapter 35. 3 through 6. I actually read that verse already. But Isaiah 29 tells of a great day. Isaiah 29 and verse 17 through 19. Isaiah says, "Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. And the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. You know, those who are born with disabilities and deformities, they'll be released from that in the kingdom age. Chapter 35, you can see, if you just kind of like look at it, I already read about how that the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The next point is protection. And I think I wrote in there after that, preservation of life. Did I not? I don't have one in front of me. Did I just shake your head? Okay. Preservation of life. Here's your verse. Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 14. Isaiah 41, 8 through 14. I notice Dave and Gloria here. What a beautiful couple. Look at them. They're working together. She's writing it down. He's turning the pages, right? And that's what some of you can do if you're next to each other there. One write it down, the other turn the pages and get there. Isaiah 41, verse 8. It says this. What are we looking for here now? Preservation of life, protection. Isaiah 41, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. Have people been incensed against the Jews throughout their history? If any of you have gone to school, hopefully you've learned about the Holocaust and the way the nations tried to have slain and gotten rid of the Jews. Read your newspaper, the Muslims. Are they in love with Israel? Do they like the fact that they are in the land over there? Are they getting along real nice and good? No, but there's coming a day when the Lord will protect them and preserve them like we're reading right here. Continuing on, verse 12. They shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Find who? Your enemies. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. By the way, look at all those titles there. Who's that? Who's this Lord? Who's this Redeemer? Who's this Holy One of Israel? The one in whom they could find no guile. The one who says, I will redeem you. That's Jesus, folks. He's coming back. He's going to rule on this earth, and he's going to protect Israel. Continuing on, verse 15. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers and high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. Just like Moses struck the rock, and out came water. The Lord's going to be right here, not through Moses, but himself, provide water for them. Verse 19, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together. And on Isaiah continues to go. Protection. The next point, freedom from oppression. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 3 through 6. Isaiah 14, 3 through 6. Freedom from oppression. That's nice. You know, you read your newspaper. Usually the front portion is all about somebody oppressing somebody else, someone taking advantage of someone else. Coatesville, someone burning someone else's house down. What in the world's going on there? You know what we need to do? We need to string up a few of these folks on the nearest tree outside of town and say, you do this, this is what's going to happen to you. Say, Pastor, is that you talking? That's me talking. We need to string a few of these guys up. Let them dangle there for a while for all people to see. This is what you do if you try to burn someone's house down. What if someone was in those houses? they would be dead. You're a murderer. I know I'm talking about capital punishment, aren't I? I think we need to get back to it. And it needs to be equally distributed, anyone. Not if you have enough money to get off. No. Everybody. And so that goes back to the point of justice, see? There's going to be justice in the kingdom. And so a freedom from oppression, Isaiah 14:3. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, like in Egypt, like in Nazi Germany. Verse 4, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. That could very well apply to the Antichrist. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. Let's see, how far do I want to go? See, a freedom from oppression during this 1,000 years. How long is 1,000 years? You know, our nation's only over 200 years. Imagine 1,000 years of the Lord ruling and reigning in conditions like this. You would think by the end of 1,000 years, the whole world would be saved. Everybody would just can't wait to get and bow down at Jesus' feet. The next point is no immaturity or no feeble-mindedness, longevity. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 20. An interesting statement is made here for this day when the Lord comes to rule and reign. Isaiah 65, verse 20. Notice this verse here. I'm not going to say to you, I understand this verse with complete understanding. I'm just going to read it to you. I know it might generate some questions and so forth about the age of people and who will die and how long will people live during this time? But let me just read it. Verse 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. In other words, they're going to live real long. For the child shall die 100 years old. If a child should die during this time, they might say, oh, my baby died. Well, how old? He was only 100 years old. Only 100. Well, yes, when you think that he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, 100 is young. 100 is young. And by the way, if you go back to Genesis, you read the length of days of some of those people who lived, Adam, Methuselah, and others, they lived over 900 years. So it's possible. This could happen. This is not outside the realm of possibility to where you say, oh, I can't believe that. Why not? Adam lived 930 some years. Methuselah, 969 years. A child who dies at 100 years old, that'll be not normal. Won't be normal. It continues on, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So what I see there in that verse is that men are going to live a long time. Very well could live right on through the whole 1,000-year reign of Christ and enter on into eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ after it's done. No immaturity, no feeble-mindedness, no longevity. I guess Alzheimer's will be gone. It doesn't take long for that to settle in, does it? Sometimes 65 and 70, 75 and 80, that starts attacking many people. And they can no longer think straight and things like that. Not in the kingdom. All right, next point. Reproduction by the living peoples. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. So the next book, Jeremiah chapter 30, gives us a hint that during this 1,000-year reign of Christ, children will be born. Whoa, look what the time is. I do see the clock now, folks. You say, does the pastor know what time it is? Now I do. All right. It's 2 minutes to 12. For those of you who don't want to turn around and look at it. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 19, 20. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. There's that oppression again. But in these verses, primarily we see that God's going to multiply His children of Israel. They're going to have children during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And they're going to be like they were before, with many people in the nation of Israel. So there's going to be reproduction going on during this time. That's why the kingdom starts out, I believe, with all saved people as a result of the judgment of the nations. And that's messages I preached in the past. Which, by the way, you can hear all these messages I've preached in the past on these subjects on our internet, on the website that we have. You'll see Pastor Freeman preach this, and this way back, and go way, way back. And you can pick up and catch some of this stuff that we've already preached on. But folks, this verse here teaches that during the kingdom age, people will be born into the kingdom. And they'll grow up during this 1,000-year reign of Christ. Those who first start are going to be those who treated the children of Israel right. And I believe that will indicate that they're saved and they will go into the kingdom. Those people will give birth to children. By the way, will they give birth to holy children without sin? No. They're still the seed of Adam, right on into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. They'll give birth to children who are born sinners. They'll live in a kingdom where dwelleth peace, no sickness, no deformity. If they happen to be born blind or without the necessary things they need, the Lord will take care of it. No oppression. They'll go and learn about Jesus all the time. All the news media, oh, they won't be this, you know, this news media that tells you what they want you to hear. They'll tell you all about Jesus. Well, here's the morning news. Here's what Jesus is planning to do today. He's going to meet with the kids from Nigeria today. He's going to teach them the ways of the Lord. There's going to be a tour led by Jesus through the Holy Land today. You know, those are the things you're going to hear about. There's another museum that's just been established to tell you all about Noah's flood and the dinosaurs and man living together. More proof that Jesus down there in Jerusalem is God, whom the Bible says He is. Wow, what good news reporting we'll have during that time. Obituaries. None today. None today. Our newspapers have at least 10 to 20 people listed as passing off into eternity. None today. Whoa. They won't make any money on the obituaries. Remember how recently you have to pay now to have your obituary put in the newspaper? You won't have to have that anymore. Nobody dies. If anybody dies, it's because they did something wrong and justice was put on them immediately. Jesus will judge. And some will die the death because they did something they shouldn't do. And it won't take 5 months and there won't be 10 appeals. Jesus will make the ruling and smack right down. There it is. It's done. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. We're going to have peace. No oppression here. Justice. Little children take something they shouldn't take at the store right away. A 100-year-old child who steals a candy bar. You know, 100 years, the child will be. What a day. This is a day that's coming upon this earth someday. You say, you're nuts, preacher. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for saying such a nice thing about me. I'm nuts. I'm just telling you what I find in here. What I found in this Bible. And that day's coming. And you know, even beyond the 1,000-year reign of Christ comes eternity. Where will you be? There's only two places in eternity. Heaven or hell. Heaven with God and Christ throughout all eternity. And you know that's going to be holy and blessed. And I've taught you in messages prior to this, our God is not going to be boring at all. Any God who says, I think I'll throw hailstones down on it. You know, this kind of a God and person that we're going to be with is somebody interesting. Be thankful we won't have to do any judgment after eternity starts. It'll be constant blessing, joy, peace, singing, talking about our Savior Jesus Christ and how He saved us. In hell, the exact opposite. Weeping, wailing, cursing, gnashing of teeth, remembering days past when they had opportunity to trust the Lord and didn't. Agony, thirst, memory is probably going to be the worst thing that they have down there, to remember what they could have had. Where are you going? Where are you going to be? I'm going to be in heaven. Why? Because I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior when I was 11 years old. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior from your sin? Have you ever acknowledged you're a sinner and need to be saved? That's called repentance. Say, I repent, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus who died for me to be my Savior. Wow, just like that, you become born again, a child of God, saved, going to heaven. How about it? Are you saved? And then children of God, all of you who say, preacher, I'm already saved. I know the Lord is my Savior. Rejoice! There's coming a day of great joy and blessing. And we're going to stand and sing number 680. Jason, can you come? 680. I shall see the King. Oh, yes. While we sing this song, I shall see the King. If you're here today and want help getting saved, why don't you step out and meet me down at the front. We'll have someone help you trust Christ as Savior. And if you're already saved, rejoice in the song as we sing it, I shall see the King. Number 680.
I shall see the King where the angels sing. I shall see the King someday in the better land on the golden strand, and with Him shall ever stay in His glory. I shall see the King and forever endless praises sing. 'Twas a Calvary Jesus died.
Deserve to be able to say it with such confidence, I'm born again, going to heaven, but we can because what Christ has done and accomplished for us at the cross. And then based upon what your word says, if we believe, you'll save us. Help Justin to get this matter settled. Help us all as we go our way to live for the Lord, be a testimony for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.